why are there not enough women in this industry? It just seems like it's a sausage party everywhere I go, and it's not cool.
That's not cool. Let's change that.
Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, listener. It's another rainy Wednesday morning here in Thailand. That's what I get for coming during the monsoon season. Today we are going to find out how to define what our personal brand is and how it fits into our business. Being yourself or being who you are is shitty advice, as no one actually knows what that means. I have brought on Maria Ross, who works with owners of companies to help them with this exact issue. Enjoy. With personal branding, it would just seem to me like women would be much more likely to want to share information than guys do, because we kind of feel like, too much work. We don't want to let anyone know about this stuff. But women love taking pictures. Women like doing this. So why are there not as many women doing personal branding as guys are?
I work with both businesses and individuals on brand strategies, and I find that there's a huge parallel to the process for both. If you are trying to build your personal brand versus your business brand, it's kind of the same thought process. I know a lot of women who just feel a little bit afraid of putting themselves out there from a brand perspective. They're perfectly willing to share things about their life and about the people in their life, but when it comes to them personally and tooting their own horn, there's a lot of social baggage, I think, that comes with that. And they think that, oh, I'm going to be seen as bragging. I'm going to be seen as too big for my britches, you know, that kind of thing. And I see a lot of even very confident, successful women that have that issue. I've struggled with that as well. And I think as we learn a little bit more about what authentic branding really means, and as people understand that it's not about putting on this persona, but it's about playing to your strengths and building off what you have, you're going to find more and more women getting comfortable with that. And I think to your point, people like you and podcasts like yours showcasing more of those women so that other women can see women doing it and doing it successfully.
So what tips can you give for people that do want to overcome that fear of sharing? Because being authentic, that's a whole different story. I know it's easy to say, just be yourself. That's the hardest thing to be in life.
Absolutely.
But what did you do to overcome that kind of fear of sharing information with others?
I approach this not just from like, hey, let's build a personal brand, but I go from it from a process that I use for businesses. And you really have to think about your brand, whether it is a personal brand or a business brand. You have to think about your audience first. So it's one thing to share, you know, what you had for breakfast or where you're sitting in the park or taking pictures of your food. But if you're building a personal brand, you have to think about who is my target consumer for this information? Who's my target audience? And what about me are they going to care about? What are they going to find value in? So that's how you avoid it turning into an ego trip. It's that you share the things that you know are valuable to your audience. And by valuable, I mean that information they can use, information that delights them or entertains them, information potentially that provokes them. And so that's where if you look at it with an eye towards what is the value I'm providing for these people versus what do I want to say about myself, it's a little bit easier to overcome those fears and those insecurities.
Do you have a process for figuring out what those people want to hear?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a lot of what I wrote about in my book, Branding Basics for Small Business, because that book was written not just, again, for small businesses, but also for entrepreneurs or solopreneurs or digital marketers who are trying to build a brand. And a lot of what I do with clients is go through creating that ideal customer or client persona. And some of that is gut. Some of that is just common sense. Some of it is, you know, who are the people you want to work with? What do they look like? And then once you flesh them out in detail versus saying, oh, my audience is women ages 25 to 50. Like that's not going to be very helpful, right? For figuring out what they want to hear about. But if you can say my audience is Jane and she's 34 and she lives in New York City and she's single and she enjoys going out with her friends and mountain climbing and jogging in Central Park, you know, you start to create this composite of a real person person, then you can start to think about, okay, well, what's her sense of humor like? What kinds of things can I blog about that she'll enjoy? What are her pains and needs? Is she starting a business? Is she working for someone else? Is she trying to get healthy? All of those things, if you can create a screenwriter's character profile, you're then able to see what things you can talk about and deliver that they're going to care about.
When people say be yourself, how do you figure out how to be yourself? Because that's seriously so tough.
Between you and me, I kind of think that's a stupid way to go about branding. Everyone banters about the term authenticity, but really authenticity is just delivering what you say you're going to deliver. In some cases, you might have to just deliver part of you and not all of you. You don't want to reveal everything to everybody, you know, like we talked about earlier. You have to be yourself, but again, it's got to be with an eye towards, but what are people going to care about yourself? What's going to be valuable to them? And you just have to think about what is that image and that reputation you want to present the world. So do you want to lead with being quirky and whimsical? Is that part of your personality? Do you want to be sort of trusted and serious and stable? You have to look at what are those character traits about yourself? And maybe it requires you polling your friends. You know, maybe you put together your own informal board of directors and say, you know, what are my strengths and weaknesses? And take a really hard look at that and then layer that with the things that you enjoy. So what are your passions? What are your likes? What are your interests? And then you can kind of weave that into what you talk about on your blog or in your podcast or in your video series, whatever it is. Again, it's be yourself with an eye towards what's the value for the person consuming it.
The challenge I have with being yourself is this. I've read an article in some magazine on Stephen Colbert. It was an interview with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how popular this guy is and how well defined his persona is.
His
right?
persona, exactly. His persona, right.
But the thing is, he is nothing like that in person, nothing like that in real life. Do we become authentic? Do we build a character? Like, what's your take on this whole thing?
Well, I think that depends on the business you're in. I mean, he's in entertainment. Yes, it made sense for him to build a character that could say some of the controversial things that he was trying to point out. He's an entertainer in the world of political satire. That's a very different thing than if you're a marketing consultant or if you're a life coach or if you're a fitness instructor, for example, whatever your chosen business is. So you have to choose an appropriate persona, if you will, for your industry. For him, it makes sense in the world of entertainment, but it probably doesn't make sense in most industries that you're going to have a persona that's completely not like you at all.
The thing is that a lot of people branch off now into podcasting, into videos and things like that. And The best advice I'm getting about podcasting and things, they're like, be entertaining. And when it comes to entertainment, who's better than Stephen Colbert? But then on the other side, most of us still have businesses.
Right.
So we can't build these personas, right? So
right.
Where does this personal brand and this character brand begin? Like, where, you know what I mean? Like, what's the middle line there?
You have to bring elements of your personality and your persona that are authentic, that are really you, into your business. So for example, you know, I'm a brand strategist. I'm an author, a speaker. There's 9 gazillion people like me in the world, but no one can copy my interests, my writing style, my personality, how I approach my work with my clients. All those things are unique to me. And so you have to find that, I hate using the word niche, but you have to find that niche for yourself because that's what's going to differentiate you. And then again, finding the people that care about what you have. So my tribe probably looks very different than another brand strategist, maybe somewhere else that operates a little bit differently. I might be going after different clients or different audience members than another brand strategist who might be going after completely different people. So it all comes back to the most important question is, who are you talking to? Is your audience small businesses? Is your audience stay-at-home moms? Is your audience really hard-driving, driven venture seekers? Who are those people? And then you figure out the parts of your true personality that will most resonate with them. Where people run into trouble, I think, and I'm sure you've probably seen this, is that they try to be something that they're not, and they try to speak to people that it's an effort because it's not authentic and it's not the right fit because it's not really them. The example I often give when I'm speaking at conferences is, you know, everybody wants to be Apple, but not everybody is Apple. So let Apple do what Apple does as a company, and company over here, you figure out what you're good at and what your tribe cares about and go do that. And it's the same thing for individuals like you and me.
So how would you help someone niche down? Because that's a really hard thing to do. And you mentioned something like small businesses, but Small business is not really a niche. You have to niche down more than that, I think, to be really successful and be able to scale better.
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about sub categories. You could be targeting small businesses that are in the finance sector. You could be targeting bookkeepers and accountants. You could be targeting fitness instructors. You could be targeting yoga studios. You know, a lot of what I do is very customized one-on-one for my clients, depending on, again, their strengths, what they offer, and who they're speaking to. That can look very different. I've worked with a lot of coaches in the past on their brand strategies, and never once have I ever recommended the same brand strategy to two different people, because you just can't. That's what the whole point of having a unique brand strategy and a unique brand is that for one coach, they could be targeting a completely different type of person than another coach. And it's all based on what their strengths are and what their experiences and their education and what they have to offer. Even just the tone of how they talk. One coach is going to appeal to one type of person. Another coach who's maybe a little bit harsher, more tough love, more sassy in their tone might appeal to a different type of person.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the tough love. I give that a lot to people.
See, and that's your brand, right? So people that doesn't resonate with, they're not going to be part of your tribe. And you're like, that's okay. They can go listen to somebody else. But you're going to focus on who you are, what you offer, and what your audience wants to hear.
But I still think it's really difficult for some people. Do you have like a method, some steps, that some questions maybe that you ask people when they try to figure out how to niche down? Because I see that a lot with marketers. They're just saying like, well, anyone that's from 18 to 30. And it's like, that doesn't mean anything.
That doesn't mean anything. No, it doesn't. And I know you're asking me for sort of a, you know, what are the three questions people should ask? And you know, I'm not going to lie, it's not that simple. So it's really just about, again, you have to take a look at what is the business you're trying to build? Who are the people you're trying to reach? What is your personality? Are you extroverted and funny and kind of kooky? Are you more quiet and introverted and introspective? All of those things are going to play into the tone of your brand. And then that's going to tell you who are the people that that's going to resonate for.
So this seems like there's a lot of psychology in this. So it's not as much as what I'm selling as more what kind of a person I am, it seems like.
It's both. That's the thing, is it has to bring both of those things together. So let's say you're going to try to reach your consultant, and you're going to try to reach mid-size technology companies, fast growth startups. Well, then you better have the skills and experience and the offering to back that up. It can't just be, well, gee, I really want to work with tech companies and charge a lot of money. That's not going to cut it. It's all about what your experience and your strengths and your expertise are that you can bring to bear for that audience. It's where those two roads come together that the magic happens. It's my personality, what I enjoy, and then what I can offer and what I can deliver. And that comes together to then tell you who you should be targeting.
Okay, let's tackle this from a different angle then. How do you differentiate yourself from all the other companies that are doing exactly the same thing that you're doing in your industry and are trying to also brand themselves?
There's three buckets of how you can differentiate yourself. And there's subcategories that exist under those. But for the high level, you can differentiate based on price, on value, or on your personality. So if you kind of look at all of these things, price, if you're going to differentiate by being the lowest price, you're going to get the least loyal customer base. But for some people or companies, it might make sense, because if they have something where they're trying to target based on volume, low price is going to be really successful for them. It's going to be very easy to compete with them because someone else can just drop their price. So price is not something that a lot of internet marketers or entrepreneurs or solopreneurs like you and me are going to really differentiate based on being the lowest price solution. The second thing is value. And that's really where it's all about what you offer. So you can be the exclusive provider of something. You can have a certain cachet with what you offer. Again, based on how you price it, you could be saying that my value is higher than my competitors because I'm at a higher price point. I offer more value within my offering, things like that. So that depends on what you're going to offer to people. And that can be tough to build up. It's not something that necessarily you can do overnight. But as you build your brand and as your reputation builds, it becomes easier to go on a value-based differentiation. And then the third thing is personality. based differentiation. And that's kind of what we've been talking about this whole time, is really just, who are you as a person? What's your tone? What's your vibe? What are your values? That's kind of the easiest way to differentiate yourself, because like we talked about, it's based on who you uniquely are. And so that's something that is going to be really hard for somebody to replicate and replicate successfully. They might be able to pretend they look and feel and act and sound like you, but eventually that's going to catch up to them. So a lot of times, people like you and me and other solo practitioners that I work with, it's really about the second two that I talked about, differentiating based on value and differentiating based on personality.
What are some strategies to keep your brand consistent? Because I think we all have a lot of things externally that keep pushing us into different directions. And how?
Yeah.
So yeah, how do we do that?
That's the crux of my work, is that I advise that all companies, whether you are a company of one, your one person business, or your 10,000, is that you have to start with a brand strategy as your foundation. Your brand strategy becomes your compass and your guide for every business decision that you make. Everything from where you're going to be marketing, to what your visuals are going to look like, to who you're going to hire or who you're going to partner with, to how you're going to price your offerings, to what you're going to offer. All of that stems from your brand strategy. And once you have that brand strategy in place, it's sort of like it keeps you honest. It's like a compass or a guide to then compare every decision that you're going to make against that brand strategy and say, does this fit my personality? Does this fit my target audience? Does this fit my values? All of those things are part of your brand strategy. And so this is where a lot of companies and people get into trouble, because they perform what I call random acts of marketing. And it's where, like you just said, you know, you get caught up in the next new shiny thing because you have no foundation. You have nothing that's sort of pulling you to, okay, I need to remember who I'm talking to, what value I offer, and how I want to offer it to the world. That's what a brand strategy provides for you. But people get so excited about tactics and what I want to build my website, and I want to get my Facebook page up, and I want to start tweeting, and I want to blah, 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 blah. Well, how do you know what to communicate through all of those different things unless you know what your brand strategy is? And that's essentially my work with people.
How is a brand strategy different from a mission statement?
So a mission statement is part of your brand strategy. Your brand strategy is actually much more robust than that. Your brand strategy encompasses your values, your mission, your offerings, your pricing strategy, your ideal customers or clients. It includes your brand attributes, which is kind of what we were talking about earlier, the vibe, the personality of your brand. And it really talks about how you are going to position yourself in the market against your competitors, what we were talking about earlier. So your brand strategy document or Bible would include the things like, how am I going to differentiate myself? What are the benefits that I offer? How am I different from my competitors? All of those things are wrapped into the brand strategy.
I think it's much easier to come up with something like this after someone's been on the market for a bit and seeing the type of people they like selling to, the ones they don't, and the way the competition maybe deals with their clients, and once they took some clients from their competition. But how would you handle this when someone's just starting out and they have really no clue?
So I actually do both. I work with people that are just launching, and I work with companies that are $200 million in revenue and they're just rebranding. And the process is exactly the same, because what it is when you're launching, a lot of it is partly your business plan. It's trial and error. Your brand never stays static. It is going to evolve as, like you said, as you learn about the types of clients you like working with, as you change your offerings up, as you play with your pricing strategies. But you have to start somewhere. When I work with customers and clients that are launching something, we talk about, okay, well, what are you able to deliver right now? And who are the types of people that need that offering? And who are the types of people that you want to work with? And that ideal customer may change in a year down the road. They may discover that, oh, hey, what I'm finding is that my offering actually really appeals to this set of people over here. So you can choose at that point to either change your ideal customer or change your offering. So you're absolutely right. You learn those things as you're in it and as you're doing business, and the brand strategy will evolve. But the point is that a lot of businesses and people just don't have at least a foundation to start from, have something to make those decisions based on.
Okay, so from the brand building perspective, this is something that I run into a lot, so I want to ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
People, especially internet marketers, They like to come up with a ton of different products, ton of different services, right? It's like one of these things, we just come up with this every single day. So should we put those new services under our main website, like as an umbrella thing, or should we build up new websites and new brands for each one of these services that we want to really niche down in?
There's no cookie cutter answer for how to approach that question. I get asked that question all the time, and it really depends on your brand and your audience. So some questions you have to ask are, number one, is this new product or service or offering going to cannibalize the one I already have that's doing really well? Is it going after a completely different audience than the one I have now? So you have to consider all of those things in addition to considering how much time and effort and resource it takes to build one brand, let alone two, three, or four. Many of us are working on shoestring budgets, so it doesn't make sense to try to build up brand awareness for three or four different brands. We're not some mega $1 million-billion company that can afford to fund and build up a brand following for completely different brands. So you have to build up the strength of your core brand first, and then offer products and services to your audience within that brand itself. But in some cases, and I have worked with some clients where it did make sense to create a completely different brand for a new product or offering that they had.
Yeah, I always get mixed advice on that too. A lot of people with bigger brands, they say, no, it's much easier to just launch this autoresponder service by itself. And then I see other people with a ton of things saying, no, I just want to bring all of this to one website. It'll be easier.
Yeah. And part of it is resources and bandwidth. That's also one of the factors of consideration. I like to always look at everything through the eyes of the audience. So is this product or service going to be for a completely different audience that has nothing to do with the audience I already have? Then yes, maybe another brand makes sense. But you have to do that carefully because we only have so much money and so much time and so many things we can manage. We have to sleep and eat and do all those other things.
Yeah, unfortunately, right?
Right.
So I just feel like pumping out new services every single day. I don't know.
And you know what? And you know what's really funny is when we're in our own business, we get blinders on and we are so bored sometimes with our own stuff because we live, eat, and breathe it every day. And we forget that there's a whole world of people out there that we're not even on their radar. So maybe it's okay that you just stick with your three offerings or whatever, because there's so many people you haven't reached with those offerings yet or with that message yet. And so that's kind of a big mistake that I see people make, is they get bored with their brand messaging or their brand strategy after like 3 months. And it's like, whoa, you know, nobody even knows who you are yet. Nobody's had a chance. This hasn't had a chance to stick with anybody. You really have to give your brand time to build up awareness and sort of momentum and all of that. And so maybe you think like, oh, I've been offering this product or service or offering for 3 years now, and I'm so bored with it. Well, tweak it. But you know, there's probably a ton of people that have never even heard of it that could really use it.
I was going to get on TV before and talk about SEO, and I spoke with someone that was going to kind of help me do that, and they just kept on telling me, dumb it down. And I was like, but this is like, seriously, no, dumb it down even more, even more, even more. And at some point I was just like, you know what? I'm not doing that.
Right. Exactly. Well, and we also forget, I mean, I'm sure you get this as an SEO expert and all the experience that you've had. We forget actually how valuable our expertise is. We sort of take it for granted because a lot of stuff comes easy for us or for anyone listening in their area of expertise. They think some things are just not valuable to other people. And then you realize, wow, there's some people that don't know this information and it's really valuable to them. And it'll change their life. It'll change their business. It'll change their perspective. And I think we lose sight of our own expertise sometimes about how valuable it really is.
It seems like the more I know, the less I actually know that I know. But it's
exactly.
But if I really just talk to someone off the street and even just ask them a simple question like, what is a personal brand? Most people will not know what that is. What is SEO? They'll be like, I don't know.
Exactly. Probably your most basic SEO tip that you learned maybe 10 years ago, if you share that with somebody, it's probably super helpful to them. And you're thinking, how do they not know this? But we all have our worlds and our areas of expertise. And sometimes it's kind of good to remember that what we take for granted as, oh, everybody knows that, they really don't. And I had a good colleague and friend of mine that I partner with a lot that kind of did a check on me as well with a lot of that, because I was trying to offer something and I was like, I was trying to overcomplicate it. And she's like, Maria, this information about these other 10 things over here that you're like pushing to the side because you think it's not that important or not that exciting. She's like, this is the stuff that people care about. And you're like, oh, you're right. That's the stuff that's valuable for people. So for all of us, what we do well comes easy for us. And we have to remember that that's the value that we can offer to other people through our brands and through our work.
Okay, Maria, tell everyone where they can find you. If there's anything working on, just share it with the world.
I'm at red-slice.com and people can sign up for my free weekly newsletter, The Juice.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Lee Bell. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.